You there, Joe?
Yep,
I'm here.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Kurt Martinson. Today is May 11th, 2011. This is the Influence Persuasion and Negotiation Call. Welcome if it's your new time. We're listening to the replay line. We'll talk about that in a second. So we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes talking about a persuasion and influence principle. We'll open it up for questions, and then we'll also take questions of things you're running into. Any comments or questions or things you want to hear about, there is a form on Why Persuasion, whypersuasion.com. That also will have the replay line if you want to review it, or if you happen to miss the call, that is available to you. It takes about 24 hours to get that up. So with that, any questions before we get started? I'll take that as a no. But here's the question. Is it possible that your prospects, the people that you're talking to, would lie to you? Is that possible? The answer is it's possible. Here are the numbers. Around 67% of the time, when you hear it's too expensive, I can't afford it, you can talk to my spouse for more information, that is a lie. And as persuaders, you need to be a student of human nature. Because one of the worst things you can do is solve the wrong objection. So what I want to spend some time on, based on some feedback, things that people want to hear, is how do you know when somebody's lying to you? Whether it be a teenager, a coworker, a prospect, you can tell if somebody's lying to you, which we call it detecting deception, and we want to spend some time on this. Now, when we talk about detecting deception, one thing I want to put out there, we do not teach deception and deception training so you can become better liars. That's not why we do that. We just need to be aware about the people around us. Now, we lie for a variety of reasons. Sometimes we lie to avoid punishment, or maybe there's a reward. A lot of people lie to avoid embarrassment. Maybe, what did you do this weekend? Maintain privacy. No, they're not home. Maybe to enhance your self-esteem, to make yourself look better than you actually are. And we ask people, is it okay to lie? And 52% of the time people say it's never justified. 33% say it's okay to lie about your age, your sex, for work. And I think most men agree that if somebody asks you how they look in a dress, that sometimes that's okay to lie. So I'm not going to draw the line for you, but it has become worse, the lying, the deception out there. And how do we lie? We can either withhold information, not reveal something about your product or service, or you can falsify information. And when you catch somebody in a lie, you have to ask yourself, okay, is this a character flaw? Are they lying all the time? Or is it a momentary lapse of character? And the goal here is to develop what I call a deception radar. You can, with practice, become very good at detecting deception. It does take practice. It does take concentration. You'll have to stop and quit thinking about what to say next and really learn how to read people. These responses that you're going to read in people are very important because you're looking at their emotional states, their internal conflicts, their stress levels. There's a lot of different things you need to take a look at. So your goal, as you look at somebody in deception, you have to realize there is deception weakest. It could be verbal. It could be their inflection, the word choice. You could hear it in their voice, vocal fillers. We'll talk about that. And it could be nonverbal, in their face, their body, their eyes, their hands, their legs. Those are the things that we are looking for. You have to realize that we all have microexpressions. We think we're pretty good liars, but we're not. Just because a prospect doesn't call you on a lie doesn't mean they're not catching you on a lie. Or if you don't call them a liar, a lot of times we just let it go and make a mental note of it. But it's interesting when you look at politicians, for example, you go look at their speeches where they're trying to pretend they didn't do what they were accused of doing. If you go back and you cut down the frames, you can tell they're lying because we have what we call microexpressions. And these are impossible to disguise, where when we lie, our face and our body does little things that sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously, and sometimes they last 1/100 of a second. They're really quick, but we can learn to really read those. So let's talk about how to detect deception. Here's the key factor. When you go into a negotiation or you go into a prospect office, you need to have no preconceptions at all. You're not going to assume they're lying or telling the truth. You're going to be more neutral. And the goal here is to find their standard behavior. This is where a lot of people blow it. That's why you talk about family, you talk about the weather, you talk about sports, so you can see that when you're talking about things that don't make them nervous, do they fidget a lot? Do they touch their face a lot? Do they cross their legs a lot? What is their standard behavior when they're not nervous? Because a lot of people think, oh, there's no eye contact, they're lying to me, but maybe they can't look at you when you have a normal conversation. That's important for you to know. And we always look for clusters. What that means is you're looking for two, three, four things that indicate deception. Just because they touch their face or they use a lot of vocal fillers doesn't mean they're lying, but when you start seeing two, three, four things, they indicated that they could be lying to you. So here's something you need to understand. Is that people who tell the truth are expecting to be believed. That sounds simple, but it's true. When you're telling the truth, you're not trying to test if they believe you. You're not trying to give too much information. Versus on the other side, those that lie will sometimes accuse you of lying, but they're always going back to test you to see if you believe them. That's important. It's almost that when you're telling the truth, you're playing offense. When you lie, you're playing defense. So when they're telling the truth, they have no reason for you to think that they're lying, and they're not going to go back and check you along the way to see if you believe it. So remember, don't confront them. Don't accuse them of lying, because then they're going to cover it up more. And an interesting thing we notice is that people that like you, when you can develop that rapport, it's harder to lie to you. The bottom line, it's easier to lie to someone you don't like. So getting them to like you, it's harder for them to deceive you. Now, we notice that it's much easier to lie in email, more so than it is over the phone, more so than it is face-to-face. There's a connection there. So what are you looking for? What are the clues? Remember, we're looking for clusters. So let's go over a few of these and kind of see if you can read people. The first one we've all heard about is the eyes. The eyes, we know, is the windows of the soul. So when that emotion kicks in, when the deception kicks in, what's happening to the eyes? You're either going to see avoiding eye contact or forced eye contact. Everyone knows when you can't look at somebody, you're lying. So their eye contact is going to differ from when you were looking at their standard behavior. So they're either going to look at you a lot more or a lot less. You will see increased blinking. You see those politicians. They start lying. Their blinkings will sometimes double and triple. And sometimes their pupils will dilate as blood flow increases. So you're looking for difference in the eyes. That's one thing you can look for. That's one of the clusters. Another cluster you can look at is their arms and their shoulders. If they keep crossing their arms or they start shrugging their shoulders, those are things that could indicate deception. Nerves are kicking in, emotions are kicking in. Sometimes they'll turn their shoulders away from you. That means that their shoulders are not squared up. You'll see a difference in their shoulders. Or along with the arms, you can look at their hands. A lot of times you'll see less movement in their hands and their arms. It's less spontaneous. It's almost like they're robotic, because all of a sudden they're becoming more aware of their movements, because they might think that you think that they're lying, so they'll start looking a little robotic, and you'll see usually a decrease of hand movements, and their gestures overall will be less spontaneous. Then we can look at the legs. Crossing and uncrossing could be one of the clusters you're looking for. Wiggling, tapping. Or a lot of times if they're sitting down, you'll see their feet come underneath their chair. What we notice is a lot of people with deception, they'll try to take up less space. They'll get further away from you. So when their feet go underneath their chair, they might kind of crouch a little bit, take less space. That's what feet underneath the chair means. Being a student, you're looking for this. You're not so concerned about what to say next. You're learning to read the people. You can look at their heads. Now, their heads is the one that they're best at controlling because that's the one they're most aware of. Sometimes you'll see a tilt in their head. It's like tilting their head you didn't see before. You'll see their hands touching their face a lot more, like they're covering their mouth or touching their nose. It's almost like it looks like they're trying to prop up their head. You'll see a difference in their head movement. And that's part of their face, too. You might see a facial twitch. And here's a big one, the facial expression, is that a true emotion will only last around 5 seconds, maybe 10 seconds. Meaning if they say they're happy to see you and that smile lasts a little too long and their eyes aren't smiling with their mouth, then you know it's fake. So you're looking for expressions that last too long. If they're trying to stay look angry too long or they're trying to smiling too long, that's a red flag. Or you might see a disconnect between their emotion and their reaction. So if they say something like this, I'm angry, and 3 seconds later they hit the table, there's a disconnect between their emotion and their reaction that means that it's false. On their mouth, they might spotty their lips, might give you that fake smile. Remember, a true smile, their eyes are going to smile with their mouth, and they might sound like they have a very dry mouth. In fact, in some countries, and we're talking thousands of years ago, if they thought you were lying, they'd stick an iron on your tongue. If it burned you, you were lying, and if it didn't, you weren't lying, because they do that a dry mouth sometimes it's lying. Not that I recommend that you try that. That was what some people used to do. They'll touch their nose a lot more because blood flow increases to their nose. Their ears might turn red. You feel a lot more contact with their face, their nose, maybe even their ears. You'll see, if you look at their whole body, they start sweating or perspiring a lot more. They're physically moving back from you. They'll become more mechanical, like we talked about, looking kind of like a robot, Their posture sometimes becomes a little more rigid. Their movements are minimal. The key thing here is to become a student of human nature. You can read deception relatively easy. A, when you know what you're looking for, and B, being aware what you're looking for and spending the time to really understand how this works. You can even take a look at their voice, especially if you're over the phone. If their pauses get longer, that's one sign of deception, because spending more time thinking about it. And realize it takes a lot more mental energy to lie than it does to tell the truth. So if you see their wheels spinning a lot more, if they have longer pauses or more vocal fillers, like everyone knows vocal fillers, or speech errors, they're spending so much time thinking about the lie and what to say next, they're not thinking about how they're talking to you, that the pauses get longer, about proper grammar, it changes. Maybe you might even hear a change in pitch. That's different from their standard behavior. Might start to mumble a little bit more. The voice might get softer. Small percent might get louder and start yelling. Most people will get a change in that volume. The key here, especially when you talk about what they're saying, is you have to look for stalling mechanisms. Talk about vocal fillers and change in speech patterns. But if they start coughing more, clearing their throat that you didn't see before, that's a sign of deception. Or even worse, when I didn't hear the question, can you repeat that? Can you say that one more time? I didn't get that. That could be one of the clues. Maybe they didn't get it, but it's one of the clues because they're trying to buy time to pick up an answer. Or a lot of times, especially politicians, we call it fogging. It's like fog. Called fogging, like swinging a baseball bat in the fog. You're not going to hit anything. And so you might say, well, tell me why your product is better than XYZ. And we'll say, you know, that's a great question. And I often think about the weather and how the weather affects you. You're like, I didn't ask you about the weather. And they just always are answering the question but never answering the question. That is also a sign. So if you look at the contents and how they're talking to you, maybe it's a lack of detail. People won't give you any detail at all. We see this in teenagers. What did you do tonight? Went out. What did you see? People. That can be a content clue. Or the other one, that will give you way too much information. Well, it's about 8:05, I was walking down the street, I passed this tree, and I noticed a bird, and the sun was starting to set. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And if that's different than how they normally talk, that's an indicator. A lot of times you'll see an increase in sarcasm or even inappropriate humor because they're nervous, they're not sure what to do. They become very indirect in their replies. So look for those, look for the red flags. Are they bringing up some type of false belief? Are they repeating your words and phrases? Are they changing focus? If you bring up a topic that they're nervous about, they're going to switch topics. Someone pulls the religion card about being religious. And that's fine to be religious, but if they're wearing it on their sleeve a little too much, that could also be a red flag for you. Now, the last one we do know that you can do is you probably heard about the eye track. You do this in interrogation. Because the way our eyes move is a direct correlation on what's happening in our brain. And this goes back to, Kinsborn and Ornstein in 72, Bandler and Grindler in 76. And this is mostly for right-handed people. It's not 100%, but it's one of the clues you can work for, that you can look for. And let me just, I'm not going to go into the whole psychology of this, but what you're looking for is as you look at the person, as you look in their eyes, if their eyes go up and to your left, you're looking at them, their eyes go up and to your left, that is the most right-hand people, that they're recreating something visually in their mind. They're making something up. They're recreating something that didn't happen. So you're looking at them up to the left. So be aware of this. Also be aware of some things that can increase deception when they're... Or about deception warnings. When they're avoiding you in a topic, they're omitting facts, they're showing anger. Realize that anger, lack of skills, threatened ego, those are all things that can increase deception. And I don't want you to use this, become more deceptive. I want you to read people and understand their intent. This is what I want you to work on. This week, I want you to learn to identify some of these things. In a normal conversation, talking to coworkers, on the phone. First of all, find their standard behavior. How do they normally act? And then really learn to listen. With your ears, your eyes, and your heart. Start reading body language. So the challenge is we're so concerned about what we're going to say next, what we need to do, and how to vomit more features and benefits that we don't focus on the person. And always look for 3 or 4 different buttons. Because one happened, or maybe even two, we're keeping our eyes open, we start seeing 3, 4, and 5, big indicator that they are doing.
Hey, Kurt, can you hear me?
This skill, it'll make a big difference in your ability to persuade and get. Is there a question?
Yes, I was wondering, I'm getting a lot of background noise. Is there a way for some of us to mute that or got background noise?
There is. I believe the mute is *6. Someone's in a car or... *6 will, and that's for all the calls. *6 will always mute you out if you're on a... Sometimes cell phones give us grief, sometimes internet phones, and sometimes kids in the background. And, of course, I've heard toilets flushing before. That's never a good sign. But anyway, *6 will mute you out. So we talked about deception here. Went over a few of the signs. Any questions about what we talked about today?
So the assignment is to learn to identify the behavior and learn to listen. And just
learn to listen. The biggest factor as we keep detecting deception, and kind of a quick lesson today, is quit being so concerned about ourselves and what we need, and just start looking at them and reading them. If you could do that in a situation where you're not in a persuasive situation, maybe in a public situation, or even with friends or family, you'll start being more aware of their gestures and what they're doing when they're getting nervous. That'll help you out quite a bit. Any other questions about what we talked? Yeah. Go ahead. Questions?
Yes. You had earlier when you started, you talked about a website, and I heard you say whypersuasion.com, but I'm unable to find that. Did I miss some part of that name?
Whypersuasion, whypersuasion.com. So one all together, whypersuasion.com.
Okay. I was not able to find that. Try it again. Okay. Still couldn't find it. All one word.
All right.
Why persuasion?
WHYPERSUASION.
Oh, S I O N. Okay.
Yep, I'm seeing it.
That might make a difference.
There you go. All right, any other questions on deception or things you're running into in the world of influence? I think the big factor that people don't realize with persuasion, if you grab one thing today, is the people that tell the truth are expecting you to believe them. The people that lie sometimes are expecting you not to believe them. And those are two very different scenarios. So if they're lying to you, they're going to, especially when you're teenagers, they're going to come back around and test you to see if you believe them. And they'll repeat something. And you can't believe that you're believing them. And you never call anybody on the line. Well, I think you're lying to me, especially in a negotiation situation. You just want to make note of it, that they're probably lying to you, because if they think you're getting away with it, it becomes more and more obvious that they are lying to you. If you call them on it, it'll set them up, it'll change the situation a little bit to where it'll be harder to read. Any other questions?
Okay, so people who are lying, you're saying they're looking for you to test them, but you don't want to call them out on it.
Exactly. They'll test you. Do you understand that? Did you get that? Do you believe that? Little things like that to where they're just testing along the way to see if you're believing them. Versus if I'm telling you the truth, I have no reason for you to doubt me or say I have to back up and repeat something because I'm telling the truth. Why would you call me on it? Two very different scenarios. And those that
when they
lie are the first ones to accuse you of lying. It's like they accuse the bartenders of people that accuse you of watering down drinks, the type of people that are watering down their own drinks.
Okay, so you're saying they're literally asked you the question, do you really believe that?
No, it might be, did you believe that story? Do you believe that happened to me? Isn't that amazing? They're looking for a little more feedback from you that you're following. It could be any one of those, where they're just kind of in their own mind verifying that you're getting away with it, that you're believing lies. Any other questions? All right. So if there are topics you want to hear about or questions that you have that you want to bring up to class or you're listening on the replay line, that's all available on whypersuasion.com. And, of course, we'll post the replay on there in the next 24 hours if you want to review it. With that, everyone have an incredible evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You too. Thanks much.
Are you back? Good night, everyone.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thanks, Kurt.
Good night.
Good night.